want to tell you about something I've used and I truly believe in. Replayer. It's a sideline camera built for youth sports. Just set it up, hit record, and it captures the entire game automatically. No chasing the ball, no holding your phone, just hands-free, stress-free recording. The in-game tagging is one of my favorite features. One tap, and you can mark a big goal, ankle-breaking moves, or a clutch tackle. Then pull those clips for later for review, highlights, or social media. And the live streaming's next level. A buddy of mine actually watched his son's game while flying cross-country at 30,000 feet. That blew me away. If you're a parent or coach at the field every weekend, Replayer is a game changer. Head to replayer.com. That's Replayer.com. And I think you'll be amazed.
Hey, soccer friends. I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of Team Player's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give Team Player a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order.
Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week is part two with Victor with SportX Travel. Now, I'm not going to say too much. We're just going to dive into this conversation. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
I'm actually helping teams. And what type of teams I'm helping in this team travel part of the business. And basically, I'm focusing on teams, pretty much all clubs that need some help, which there are some teams that are traveling anywhere for tournaments or what's called conference play. The ones I'm helping now, they're focused on conference play, which that means that it's every 2 weeks they have to travel somewhere within, we're talking about the state of Texas, 300 miles, be Austin, Houston, or San Antonio. And they need a place to stay. They need for one night or two nights, depending. So that's where my focus has been. I'm helping other teams to do their MLS travel, which is a different animal because it requires airfares and van rental, etc. But it is those teams that they travel all year long and they're not really looking to play in tournaments. Now, as I'm trying to expand the business, obviously I'm trying to pitch the idea and try to help other teams, help families and parents and coaches and team managers. I'm finding some sort of resistance, right? I'm finding that some teams are just, if they travel once or twice a year, they go to these tournaments and these tournaments are state of play. And I don't know how familiar we all are with state of play, but it's been around for a long time. And as I'm digging deeper into the state of play, it is really surprising. It's really shocking to me the way some of these tournament or called governing bodies, tournaments, right, agencies and hotels are probably not the least guilty because they're just really there to provide the business, the service like anyone would. But also the dynamic with the teams and the logistics and to be trapped into this, I don't know if I want to call it scheme, right? But the state of play scheme and or business model, if you will. But I can talk about how it works. And you go online and or you talk to parents, like everyone hates it, right? Everyone hates that you're forced to stay in a hotel. You're forced to, that may not even be close to the place, the fields you're playing at, that it's double the price. And I can explain how that works for your audience. And then and I don't mind breaking it down because it's actually out there in online, how people are making money off parents. And there's all these complaints, right? The hotels is bad, are bad, reviews are not good. They put you 40 minutes away from the fields, etc. But still, yet teams are looking for those type of tournaments and stay there. And it's a one-way street. There's no conversation about, no option. And we live in this country, right? There's options. There's options for everything, alternatives. But this one seems to be the one of the only things that they don't have any option. That goes not only for soccer. I've actually talked to volleyball teams. I've talked to gymnastic teams. I've talked to basketball teams. It all is the same. It's a very large business model that it's almost like operates in the underground. No one talks about it, but it's there. Once you face it, it's in front of you and you cannot get away with it. I do want to talk about a little bit how that works, if you don't mind for a second. The state of play tournament, it's simple. The math is how much the rate is for the hotel. As a travel agent or travel agency, they get a percentage of it from 8 to 12%. And on top of that, the hotel is going to, or the organization or the governing body of the tournament is going to ask for some money to get kicked back to that organization. It's all baked into the rate. So $100 rate could become a $180 rate with taxes and all that. All of a sudden, in the quality of the hotel, I don't know. There's obviously hotels that do merit that rate, right? Because they're 3 to 4 star hotels with breakfast included. Some of these hotels don't even have breakfast included. So I'm finding that teams just want to play there. And that cost is passed down to the families. And they're trapped into it. They're trapped into that, the whole business scenario, because if they don't pay, it's simple. The kid doesn't play. And then you're maybe kicked out of the team. But whatever happens. So that's probably the biggest challenge that I have right now is to try to expand and try to make education. I get it. Not every team is set up to play conference play or a high level, which I don't want to sound biased or anything, but it's interesting how these clubs that there are some clubs that reject state of play and say, look, I'm not paying that. I'm going to pay a fee if you want a fee, but I'm picking where I'm staying. So I respect that a lot because you're just standing against the system and you're a big enough club that already makes money of fees. You don't have to make money off parents more just by paying these amounts. So I respect the clubs that are actually rejecting that. There's a few, not many. But yeah, that's one of the barriers I'm facing right now.
As looking at it from the parents' perspective, I think most parents just do as they're told because they're scared. When they're going up against these places, they don't want their kids' team to get disqualified and the cost structure. You just put up with it because that's what we're told to do. As a parent that has started to enter into this world of pay-to-play models of going to tournaments where you pay-to-stay model of staying at these tournaments, there's not a lot of information. And sometimes, like you said, the hotels are not the greatest. And some things I have learned is that the contracts might be with a hotel that's 30 minutes from the location and not minutes away when there are dozens of hotels within 10-15 minute drive of said location. And we've been fortunate because we've had parents that have navigated this in the past and found locations that are hotels that are close that are not being booked because they're lower quality hotels. But at the same time, I will say we got lucky and we had a hotel that had free breakfast last time we stayed in our one. But as parents explore this, Most don't. Most aren't educated enough. They're just doing as they're told. So you just talked about a gamut of information that the cost structure, how it's done and how it's being broken down. What advice would you advise these parents on going forward on doing research, or if they're talking to their team manager or the coach about where to stay and how to not circumvent these programs, but how to play within them, or how to work with the tournament and work with you to find a way to mitigate the cost so it's not double the cost or $50 more a night. You can go on, I'll be honest, our last one we went on and it was $60 cheaper if we just booked it straight online through their website, the hotel's website, not even looking at Travelocity or anything else. It was $60 cheaper a night. So there is the bake-in cost of everything because they're doing the block rooms, or maybe whenever the block rooms were done, that was their rate for that room. So what advice do you provide then? Or where would you start guiding parents on this now?
No, that's a good question. And it does have a different, the answer has different components. So number one, I'm a parent too. My kids play team too. It just starts with the communication, right? Initially up front in the year, having that open communication with both the coach, the team manager, even club leadership, like what are we trying to achieve as a team? I find in my experience already being part of the soccer world for a good 7 years now with my kids playing again, I found that there's some teams don't want to have that communication. It's just a one-way street, like you said. Parents are told that, and you can even question the coach. You can ask questions. That's not obviously how things should work in real life. Everyone works as a team. It's conversation, negotiation, etc. Questions, just you're not questioning decisions. You're just asking questions to know, right? So that thing that would be probably number one to start. Do we have an open communication with the team manager and the coach, right? To truly understand what the goal of this team is. And then honestly, when you go in this hotel, like business and the tournament business, there's simple questions about looking at the tournament that I'm playing. What is that tournament going to provide me? Provide me exposure to a national qualifier? Is it just going to provide me points on for my rankings on the team? Am I truly going to see competition outside what I'm already playing? Because one thing that I've learned too, that a lot of these tournaments, like you end up playing the same teams because they're all traveling from the DFW area, right? That's where they have the largest teams. But going into it, like there's some tournaments that allow you to opt out fee. They're less and less. I'm finding that out. But you can pay $500 and opt out and find your own hotel. The savings you could get from those hotels may be even cheaper than those $500. So you're good with it. Again, it's just about having the right club to say, hey, I'm not going to stay there because I think this is too much money for my parents. I'm going to stay somewhere else. And if you want to kick me out of tournament, that's up to the management how to actually do it or find another tournament. Give you an example of a tournament that I'm actually helped a team just last end of last year. That it's one of the greatest tournaments and nationally recognized, which is the Orlando, the Disney Showcase. It's played at probably one of the better or best complex around the country, which is the ESPN complex in Orlando next to the parks. They used to be a state of play. Now they're down, number one, because they start losing teams. But also they are making sure that the teams are paying the fee and you find your own way to stay. They're not going to restrict anything to anybody. And I help a team to stay just 5 minutes, 7 minutes away from great pricing. And that is also, it takes all of us, right? Also a tournament saying, hey, I want to make money of this. They could probably, and I don't know this answer or not, but they might have added $50 or $60 or $100 more to the registration fee and to make up for something they used to make money on, which is the hotels. And now, but it's all up front. It's all the upfront cost. There's no hidden. So that's number two. But number three, anyone could actually call today. You don't have to be a travel agent. You can call a hotel, and if you have ability to negotiate, hey, I'm going to bring 16 rooms. It's always more than 10 to consider you as a group, 10 rooms. If you can bring more than 10 rooms, and let's say you bring up to 20, you have a negotiation power now with the hotels because you're bringing them business. There's also another area where I actually can help the teams where because I have a business set up, I tell the hotel, look, I need 40 rooms and I'm going to pay for all the 40 rooms up front. So that way there's no risk of attrition and cancellation last minute, because hotels, I do get it. They have to prepare with at least a week in advance. Staff, there's breakfast, obviously, all the cost of goods and the staff. But just for you to know, if everyone's curious to know, staff, so the hotel staff is not there all the time. They actually hire them or let them go depending on how busy the hotels get. And that's unfortunate, but that's how it works. So if you're actually booking, you know, up front and telling them, I'm going to have 40 rooms for you and I'm going to pay it all up front, then you have a leverage. You have negotiation power with the hotels. I need you to give me the best rate you have. And that rate is going to include breakfast, free parking, Wi-Fi, etc. You can ask all these things. And hotels can fight back, give you, no, that's my best rate. No, I know it's not your best rate, because you go online in a different date and you're going to find out, Google's a great start, you know, that rate is like, let's say $99. And they want to charge you $150. That's not. So that is also, it takes maybe a little time. Team manager, the parent, they want to do that on their own. That's great. That's the tools. But what I've been actually helping do is really calling hotels and say, I'm going to bring you X amount of business, meaning X amount of rooms. So I need a very competitive rate. I need this. And I end up twisting their arm a little bit and then getting the rate we want. And it is like usually $40, $50, $60 less than they're actually putting on the website. So that's kind of how it takes time. It takes practice, yes, but anyone could do it. Again, I can help with that if someone wants to just reach out and help with those options. But it does take a little bit of taking a stand, going back to the communication with the coach, with the team manager, the goals of what type of tournament you're playing. And once it's all set up and square, then talk about the specific place you want to go and take your team to. Then you can start talking about how these tips and tricks and how to deal with the hotels.
I think most parents find time. I think that is the number one thing we precious most, is our time.
Of course.
Either with our kids, I think most people do. And having a service that will go out there, like learning how to do it, to me, is fun and exciting. Not everyone has the same approach that I have to looking at problems and solving problems. But if they came to you and say, you can do this, and everything you just explained, how do they not get in trouble by not working with it? You talked about earlier, there was a fee that they can pay to, I know that's one of, you can pay, I think it's like $50 or $75 a team for some tournaments not to use their travel site, which, great. Like you said, just bake it into the cost then. Add it in and not allow us to figure out our own stuff. But at the same time, I think a lot of parents, that's what I'm looking for, there comes with some assurance. If you're, let's say your team doesn't make it to the finals and you want to leave Sunday night instead of Monday afternoon after the finals, a lot of times they let you cancel your hotel up until check-in time. Now, how would parents navigate that process? Because at the end of the day, me as a parent trying to navigate all this, it's very hard. And I guess once you go through it four or five times, it becomes easier. But how would you help parents navigate this? Or how do you navigate it then? Do you work with the hotels? Because these play-and-play models, that's why some of these rates are much higher, is because they're banking on you possibly not staying that extra night. And they're baking that cost into the room costs.
That's a great question too. My job as a travel company, it's to obviously make life easier for my customers, meaning teams, parents, or individuals that want to just travel, but also build relationships with good hotel partners. And when you're setting up contracts for a team, you want to make sure that you have everything in place. And that, again, that's my job, to make sure you mitigate any possible circumstance where you have to leave early, then you got to refund me that room that I already prepaid you. And again, you build those relationships once you start booking more with the same properties. And the good thing about this part of the business is that there are less fields than our hotels. So some of these tournaments go back to the same locations of the fields, but they'll also around those fields, there's also plenty of properties. And then you start working with them directly. And then I had an occasion, actually, I'll give you two examples. One that I had booked 120 rooms for a team going to Houston last year. And it was actually my mistake by overlooking that in the contract, there was no cancellations anymore. But also the team, the host club informed the team that was going to be a bad week in terms of weather for Houston starting Wednesday, the Wednesday before they play the weekend. So they say they canceled the games because the fields were going to be unplayable. It's going to still rain, storm, lighting. And I already prepaid for 120 rooms. I had to call the hotel and say, look, this is not going to happen. The games are not going to happen. And the first reaction of a hotel, it's on the contract, right? Can't cancel. I said, but it's not going to happen. So how can we talk about, how can we build this partnership in the future where these games are going to get rescheduled? It's a league conference play, right? It's not a tournament. And luckily they went back, said, we want your business again. So it's again, how you build a relationship, and they reimbursed the entire amount that I had already prepaid. The parents got reimbursed and everyone was happy. The other thing too, I booked a team for Orlando, a showcase that I was telling you about. And some families actually decided to leave early without telling anybody. And again, it's just building those relationships with those good hotel managers and sales managers. Without me asking, they reimburse the room because they say, oh, they left early. So here's your money back. And I actually gave the money back to the parents. Again, this is part of like where, like you said, education and time. You don't have, as a parent or a coach or team manager, you don't have time to call or contact 10 hotel brands. And you want to rely on someone that maybe already has that relationship or build that relationship for you to solve that problem and mitigate those risks that you may have once you're there at that location, right? And it's just about be upfront and what you want. Ultimately, and this is like anything, Ian, and go back to my original rant, the beginning of this conversation, is as a customers for any service, we should have, or we already have the leverage because we are the customers. We are paying for it. Regarding your club fees, the groceries, gas, whatever, we have leverage, somehow leverage. And in this case, it seems like we don't anymore. With this tournament, state of play, we don't have zero leverage. And this is part of me also spreading the message out. Yes, I do want to help more teams. Yes, I want to grow my business, but I didn't start this just to make me rich. We talked about, you and I talked about this before. It's just really finding a problem, try to solve it, see an opportunity and help somebody. And obviously if it becomes a business model that helps grow my company, great. But at the end of the day, I'm helping and I'm trying to solve a problem for somebody. And there's so many areas that it's just not about finding a cheap hotel or not. It's finding the right solution for a family that is committed to already spend X amount of money to travel. And ultimately, now that you pay, you want to make sure you have the best service available, right? You make sure you don't find any surprises. Or here's the other thing, even in this state of play tournaments, what they don't tell you, breakfast sometimes not included, right? You can negotiate that. So you have to pay for that extra. And if you were to be in some of those states that charge hotel fees, it's just property fees, whatever. Florida is a great example. Like
resort fees.
Resort fees. It's resort fees. And then all of a sudden you're checking out, the hotel's prepaid, and all of a sudden you're getting charged with that resort fee. No one told you about it. And you're there, they won't let you go, right, if you don't pay. So those kind of surprises you avoid by working already with someone that is be on your side, like trying to bake all those costs in and upfront. Hey, this includes the room rate, tax, etc. And by the time the checkout, you're not going to pay a penny more because you're already, someone already tried to solve it for you. So that's where it comes from.
Dealing with hotels, and it's a complex situation. It should be so straightforward and so simple. It should be just going on and either clicking a few buttons and you're done and you have your room, or working with someone like yourself and saying, okay, this is what we got for the rate. This is what we have going on. This is how you make the payment for it. It's a done deal. You walk out the door. As a parent, it's frustrating because you want your kids to go play in all these activities, but you don't want to hurt their chances of participating if they do an audit, so to speak. So is there a way to make sure that if you're working with these tournaments and you did everything you were supposed to, and but you decided not to go with their room, and there's no way to pay the, I'll call it the convenient fee of using their travel agency, and to circumvent it? Or is, do we have to work, or we work with the tournament and folks like you to figure this out?
I think it's going to take a few of those families to go in the route, like to go rogue, if you will, and do it. I've seen examples where the coach, at the end of the day, he wants to coach, right? So the parent comes and say, hey, I'm not staying there. I'm not, well, your player has to say, we're not. And the player happened to be part of the team, essentially part of the team. So some coaches will let that go and then fine, it's okay. It's going to take more of that type of conversation with the coach. Say, we're not, it's just part of it. Again, go back to the conversation, like open and trust with their team manager and coach to say, hey, this is not fair. Why are we doing this? And you can ultimately, which is not the ideal, right? But opt out, right? Tournaments are not mandatory. Every time you probably seen Ian, I've seen before, every time we're playing an outside tournament, hey, you can decide to say if you want to play or not. And ultimately it goes back to the fundamental, like what type of club your families, your kids are playing. Like you want to be in an environment that doesn't hold you hostage, not only for being part of the club. And I speak that, yes, I'm in the travel business, but I speak as a parent here. I didn't want to be held hostage by a coach, by a team manager to make my own decisions. There's plenty of clubs you can go to and don't feel that way. There's plenty that are just, unfortunately, are part of that. We're a big club where you're just gonna do whatever you want to do. And on the travel side, I can say, yeah, there's always options for anything that you want to, if you want to go the other way. That's, you don't have to use me. You just, again, if you find it funny or interesting, not funny, interesting, and I'd start doing your research, and yeah, go ahead and do it. It's all about what's best for you ultimately.
I think as parents go through this process, they forget that it is about their kids and it's about the families as a whole. And you do have a choice, and you do have a choice to pick and choose. Correct. You mentioned they don't have to play in these tournaments, but at the same time, I think most parents want their kids to play in tournaments. You may not play the same teams, or you might play a couple teams from DFW, but depending on which tournament you pick, you may not play a single team from DFW, but I guarantee you there will be teams from DFW there, unless it's an obscure tournament.
Yes.
Or a very prestigious tournament where it's truly an invite only. But that being said, I think parents, I know that we have, as a family, have looked at tournaments as more of where they're at in their accomplishment, because they can go play in a higher bracket and see if they're actually competing better. I don't think most parents view it like we do as a family, but looking at it from that perspective, most parents want tournaments because it's a lot of games very quickly. It's a great chance for the players to learn and make changes and play as a team. And sometimes it's a great bonding experience, especially if they're able to stay if they're away playing, and not so much local, because now you're spending meals together. Now you're spending time in between games together. I know that when my son went to his last tournament out of town, my daughter got to play with other teammates' kids and play. They sat down and played cards together and do different activities. And I felt like it was a great bonding experience for that trip. I think that's what I view it as, what they got out of it more than anything else. And I think they did, the hosting tournament did a really great job of providing a great tournament and doing the things that I expected from the tournament. There was issues with the hotel, and that came back because of how the management company broke everything down in the background. And it creates a bad taste for parents, or if they know what's going on, it creates a bad taste for them, because now this tournament has been tarnished by their travel agency company they used. And it makes a lot of parents upset.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. And not to mention that some of these tournaments are created. There's this travel company that, fortunately, you click on the website, don't exist. It was just created for that tournament alone and to make money and then disappear. That is unfortunate. And that obviously brings a bad reputation for the rest of the travel professionals. But I guarantee you that's not really a professional company. They just want to make money off parents one time and then do something else.
Have you seen or figured out a way to help families navigate this pay-to-play model from when they're blocking rooms to using those sources that they have to use? Or is there a way, if they're participating in these tournaments, to... Maybe not use those using those resources and gambling it. Is there a way that they can look in these contracts with the tournaments trying to figure out how to do what they need to do to better set themselves up for success using their hotels they want to use versus the agency?
Yeah, unfortunately, there's not the right answer to that or direct answer. It just kind of have to be a case-by-case trial and take a stand and say, yeah, I'm not paying $280 for a two-star hotel. I'm not going to give names. We're staying anywhere else. Just have that conversation with the hotel group. What do you value most? My fees for the tournament fees to enter as a group, or the $15 per room you're going to get from our group? That has to be an honest conversation, and I don't have a direct answer, like I said, because the model is so established, the model is not transparent, that it is going to be hard to beat until someone, and I think it has to be, from my personal opinion, a stand from the big clubs to say, we're not doing this. You want to dress up your tournament? Buy my team that has great quality, or large club or great teams, and you know it's going to be a great tournament because that team is playing in it. And we know, I don't want to mention clubs, but there are big enough clubs around the DFW area that can take a stand and say, you know what, we have hundreds of teams and we don't need this. That's what it's going to take eventually.
So the DOC is out there listening to this. It's up to you now.
There you go.
Any advice you could give to these parents then, as we're looking at this, any advice you could give them to help them guide through this? Because at the end of the day, quick, dirty answer, nothing long, and then it's up to you what else you want to say. But I think we've gotten everything so far pretty good.
Yeah, I think ask questions, obviously, and just questions for education. I do think, and Ian, this may be a topic for something else, but I have found a great majority of players and parents that make up the team, for at least in our area, probably California and other areas too, they are Hispanic descent, and language can be a barrier. I've seen that firsthand when there's a family of player. The player, it's fluent, right, in English, but the parents are not. And when they're trying to explain all these rules and club law policies and things like that, there might be some things that are lost in translation here. And also the parents that I've sometimes have worked with, they just more comfortable speaking Spanish. And that, they have zero communication with the team manager because there's just that language barrier. So they're just told exactly what they need to do and say. And then you just cannot say anything. It's just a part of confidence, right? Whether it's language barrier or just not feel confident to ask, just ask the questions, right? Whether this is something that's right or not. And if you are, just ask the questions, trying to understand, and hopefully you get an answer from the team manager or the club that it's fair and it's direct, and try to explain how things are working. Because you and I probably can agree on one thing, Ian, is that you don't want to be in an environment that you feel hostage to anything. You've been around enough. I've been around, like, you don't want that. Again, there's options. If this club doesn't work, there's always the next one. And I would say that's probably the biggest option, or the biggest advice, if I could offer that one, is just to ask questions and be we take the time, because ultimately it's a family decision. It's just not just keep playing a sport. It's just a family commitment, financial, and also time. And if you don't, just to try to find a way to do it. If you don't speak the language very well, try to get someone close to ask those questions for you, and you'll be upfront with the coach. Some of these families also don't have the funds to continue to travel this way, but they're expected to do because they're part of the team, right? So that's what I would say.
My favorite question to always ask in all my interviews is, who has been your greatest influence when you were a player? And now, being part of the soccer world and the business side, who's been your greatest influence as a businessman?
Absolutely. I was blessed to have many, many coaches that, yes, they kept me on the bench. But for one reason, one coaches would tell me, hey, you learn a lot when you're on the bench. So sit down and just observe. And when I ask you to come, I need you to do this exactly. So I was really grateful for that. I would say it's a collection of coaches, right? There's the one that gave me that advice but kept me on the team. And there's one that at the end, like I mentioned, his name is Helmut. He gave me a lot of life lessons and told me like how I was probably not the most talented player, but I had some heart, and then kept me on the team because I was a positive influence for the team and something for people to look up to in terms of don't give up easily. And also I have a coach that truly believed in me in my last 2 years, Juan Pablo Troop. He was great and believing in me, and all of a sudden, hey, you're playing, you're a starter. And I'm like, what, are you serious? Like, yes, you are, go ahead and play that way you were training. And there's also others that helped me along the way. And now on the business side, I have had the pleasure, I've been blessed to have many mentors. And everyone teaches you something along the way, and it challenges you, and then really puts in perspective what you're truly want to do. The greatest mentor I remember is always asking the tough questions, like, hey, what do you want to do? What do you want to be? Just answer that question. You don't have to respond immediately. Just tell me, you think about it, and come back to me and tell me what you want to do, and I can help you get there. But I'm not going to give you all the answers. That's where I am in my career. And right now, yes, I'm going to have to thank my brother, Ignacio, right? He actually challenged me, gave me that idea to start this business. I'm going to go all in thanks to you. And thanks for believing in that I could do this. Obviously, I have family, support family. My wife has been great at supporting me and then helping me and challenging me the ideas and giving me some advice here and there. Even my kids, they started to be old enough. They're 13 and 9, so I understand what I'm trying to do. And then not fully, but some of them will say something, hey, do this, do that, and change the color in this presentation. I don't like that font. Things like that are minimal. You're like, okay, I get it. You see something, it's because probably you're right. So I probably didn't answer the way you wanted, like one person, but I have many mentors, and I continue to look forward to have more. As I get into this, in the travel business, and continue to learn, every day has been a blessing that I get to meet someone to help influence what I'm doing and keep learning. I think I did remember one thing, and I apologize if I'm digressing, but there's one, I remember a boss when I used to work at Dr. Pepper Snapple, great company, and he said, as a marketer, never arrive, or as a professional, always be ready and never think that absolutely everything. It is probably now a cliche, I've seen so many of their quotes, but he said, never arrive, always be on your toes, always have your resume ready, always be ready to be learning and absorb, because every day is going to be a challenge. So never arrive. So here I am. I don't want to arrive ever. I'm going to continue to ride this train.
Hey, everyone. I hope you all have enjoyed this two-part series with Victor. Now, the service he is providing is awesome. I've had a few coaches I know use it. It made the process easier for them. It was a lot more efficient. And at the end of the day, it alleviates a lot of stress for the team manager. There are things we talked about in this two-part series, and I'm going to have to put a disclaimer on it just because I don't want you all to get in trouble. I don't disagree with what he's saying, but you also have to obey and work within the parameters that are set by the leagues and tournaments. And yes, there are loopholes to get around it and conversations that you can have dealing with it, because if you're booking multiple teams and trying to get them all into one location, A lot of times the management systems that are out there can't accommodate that many rooms. The example he used in the episode was booking 120 rooms. That's a large block to have for hotels. And for a management company, they might have to split it up. But if he's doing it for you, I bet he can get you all into the same hotel and relatively close to where you're trying to do. And this sometimes means having a conversation with the tournaments, explaining what's going on. And a lot of times they'll give you an exclusion. He talked about that. But also make sure that you're not going to get yourself in trouble. But that's not the point. Look at how many leagues now are travel. How many leagues you have to travel to fly to. It's more than just driving distance away. That alone should tell you everything that you need to know to get where you need to be. If that doesn't tell you where our sports world is heading for youth sports, you might want to take a step back and reevaluate your game plan for your player. At the end of the day, he has a great service. He offers a great product for you all to work within. And give him a call, give him a try. All of his information will be in the show notes. I will have it posted in the episode information on Facebook, and I'll be linking his business to this episode. I just want to say, give him a look, give him a try. If you have questions, reach out to me, reach out to him, and we will do our best to help you navigate this ugly world of travel sports, because it's brutal, and you can be an expert in it and still get yourself caught in some trouble. And that's why you have folks like Victor out there trying to make a difference. He's local to Texas, so if you're like me, here's another business that you can support that is local. And I really hope you all give him a chance.
Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.